I say thank you, Ray.
Thanks to everybody who's been so busy around here this weekend. Jim and Darla roasting the pig, and worship team making all kind of different changes and arrangements. The Kleins back in the kitchen cooking, and everybody getting ready. We appreciate everybody's help. Just to let you know where we're going. We're going to have a service here a while. We'll take a break for about 5 minutes or so that you can get your hat and coat or whatever you like, your umbrella, and meet us out front around the the flagpole. And we're going to sing a couple of songs there and have a prayer over our flag and our country. And then after that, we're going to meet in the gym to have our dinner. As we come back next week, I've got two services in a row, two Sundays in a row. We're going to talk about freedom. If there is anything dogging your trail, if there is an addiction of some kind, if there is an imp that has gotten a toehold in your life, we're going to talk about the freedom that is ours in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to fast and pray between now and these next couple of weeks, we're going to ask God to help us to see if some folk get delivered from whatever might be binding them. And then we start a series in the Gospel of John that I'm excited about. That's 3 weeks from today. But for today, I prepared a Stinky Levi story. I assumed we would be outside and many other things that I assume that haven't come about. But maybe you're not familiar with Stinky Levi. You might be visiting today, so let me kind of catch you up to speed. When Levi was a boy, he grew up in a very poor family, and he cleaned barns and stables to help bring a little bit of money in for the family. That's how he got his name, Stinky Levi. He always smelled like he'd just been cleaning a barn, because he had. By chance, by design, he happened to clean the very stable in which Jesus was born. And that's how he got into this story. Now, we're many years later, he's grown up. He's married a lady by the name of Leah. She had a son by the name of David that he adopted. And they have a donkey by the name of
Benjamin.
That's right. During Levi's lifetime, the Roman Empire ruled the world. That means that in Bethlehem, where Levi lived, Roman soldiers were often seen walking or riding on horses or riding in chariots through their streets. Most Jews didn't like the Romans because they levied heavy taxes on everybody and on everything. The taxes went to pay for all those soldiers, but also for some helpful things. The Romans loved to build good roads. Bethlehem's streets and the roads leading out of town had never been so smooth and solid before. Another thing Rome was big on was spreading its culture. They wanted to educate the masses, teach the people how to read and write and learn many other things. Unfortunately, a lot of the things Rome wanted the world to learn just weren't true. The Romans worshipped a lot of false gods, idols, and were guided by superstitions. They even worshipped their emperor like he was some kind of a god. All of that got into their school lessons. Can you imagine beginning your day at school by pledging allegiance to Caesar and worshiping him like a god? The Romans were also very immoral. That meant they weren't content to just get married and have husbands and wives love each other. They ran around with many different partners, which caused a lot of relationship problems and spread disease. One of the ways the Romans circulated their culture was through theater. They would build amphitheaters in the cities they conquered, then bring in actors to entertain the people. But it wasn't just entertainment. In their plays and musicals, they introduced their idols in immoral ways. Jews who were raised to obey the Lord would attend those plays and slowly but surely start to think like the Romans. They started dressing like Romans, talking like Romans, even worshiping those false gods. Levi called it Roman creep, the way the Romans' culture crept into Jewish society, pushing out their long-held beliefs and values while steadily making Israel more ungodly. Many of David's friends loved to go to the theater. Sometimes, whenever Levi knew the play wasn't too bad, he'd allow David to go too. But more and more, the plays were becoming darker and more wicked. The actors were worshiping these false gods right there on the stage. sometimes that do immoral things right there in front of everyone. Levi explained to David that to see and hear such things would cause him to think about them, and that eat away at his own good character. Well, David understood what his dad was saying, but still, when all his friends were going to see a play, it was hard for him not to go. They'd all be talking about it and often make fun of David like he was a baby, because Daddy won't allow baby David to go to the theater. Aw, isn't that cute, baby David? Well, one day posters went up all over Bethlehem advertising the new Roman play that was coming to town. It was about a Roman conquest of a barbarian village. All David's friends said they were going to see it. David asked Levi if he could go, but Levi told him that he heard it was way too violent of a story and that it would give him terrible nightmares. That sounded to David as if his dad was treating him like a baby. Why, he'd be a man soon and might well be a soldier himself. He wanted to know what it would be like to be in a battle. And besides, he needed to get his friends off his back. One evening, he told his dad and mom he was going to the park to play soccer, but what he really did was sneak off to the theater with his friends. Oh, it was an exciting play. Trumpets were blaring, drums beating, singers singing. A thrill ran up David's spine as the curtains opened. The actors were depicted sailing ships on their way to their city of conquest, and the wind was blowing and the storm was raging, and on they went. Finally, they arrived. Oh, how barbaric the barbarians really were. How organized the Roman soldiers were compared to those savages. The savages didn't even have matching uniforms, and their weapons were like trinkets. They carried pitchforks and clubs. You just couldn't help admire the Roman soldiers in their shiny helmets, breastplates, shields, and swords. The trumpeter blasted a loud, long note. The soldiers raised their shields. Another blast came from the trumpet, and the Romans went running into the ranks of the barbarians. They fell before them like dominoes. In no time at all, the Romans had won with nary a scratch. In the next scene, soldiers were seen looting the town, grabbing women and children in order to make them slaves. They laughed and drank as they grabbed gold, silver, and jewels. In the final scene, they brought in a real live captive from the war. He spoke a language David didn't understand, but they could tell he was angry, didn't want to be there. The Roman actors told the crowd he was a barbarian prince who refused to accept Roman ways. They had offered to spare his entire village if only he would bow to their gods. He refused. Therefore, the Romans killed everyone in sight and captured this prince. There on stage, they ran him through with a sword several times as he screamed out in pain. One of David's friends said it wasn't real, it was just an act. But then one of the soldiers on the stage drew his sword and lopped off the prince's head with one mighty swing. The head rolled off the stage and came to rest right in front of David and his friends with the eyes looking right up at him. They all jumped up and ran out of the theater while the crowd roared with laughter. But for David, it was no joke. He threw up before he even got home. Once he was there, his parents asked how the soccer game went. He said he had gotten sick during the game and just wanted to go to bed. Leah felt his head, but he didn't have a fever. She tucked him in bed and said, "Good night." In the middle of the night, Levi was startled awake by David's screams. He rushed over to find David tossing and turning while he moaned and groaned. He was having a nightmare. Levi gently patted his shoulder while he called his name to wake him up. David awoke with a start, eyes wild with terror. Finally, recognizing Levi, he threw his arms around his dad's neck and held on so tight, Levi thought he was going to choke him to death. "Easy, easy, son," Levi said. "You were just having a bad dream, is all." "No, Dad," said David. "I went to the theater, and the Roman creep got me." David went on to tell Levi about what he saw and that now he couldn't get it off his mind. Well, we're going to pray and ask God to forgive and help you, said Levi. But what happens next is most important. Oh, what's that, Dad? asked David. If you have truly learned a lesson, it will serve you well for the rest of your life. But if you decide to go back to that theater, you'll actually start getting used to seeing what you saw tonight and at some point even start liking it. Oh, no, Dad, said David. No one could ever get used to that. Didn't you say the crowd laughed when you and your friends ran out? Yeah. And I'll bet that even though all of your friends are as freaked out as you are right now, the next time you see them, they'll be laughing about it too. And they'll be acting like it was no big deal. They'll dare you to go with them again. And if you do, and if they do, it won't be long until you're all laughing with the rest of the crowd as a man gets his head chopped off. Is that the kind of person you want to become? No, sir, said David. Do you want to grow up to be the kind of a man that cheats on his wife, breaking her heart? No, sir, said David. What you do with how you feel right now is very important, said Levi. You can learn your lesson and stand up to your friends the next time they try to corrupt you, or just go along with the crowd until you're a sinner through and through. And he said, I'm never going to tell you you can't go to the theater again. What? Said David. Well, it's obvious I couldn't keep you away from it, said Levi. Your friend's parents probably told them they couldn't go to either. But look at them now. If you really learn your lesson tonight, if you really repent of your sin, you won't want to do that to yourself again. But if you're not man enough to stand up to your friends and not allow the devil access to your soul, there's really nothing more I can do for you. If you want to, you can keep telling your friends, I don't allow you to go to the theater. But if you're really ready to grow up, you'll tell them the truth. You'll tell them that you've decided not to follow the ways of the Romans, but have decided to follow the ways of God, creator of heaven and earth, and his son, Jesus Christ, who died so that we won't have to become slaves to all that filth and sin. You see, son, what you feed your soul is what you become. Garbage in, garbage out. If you feed on violence, you'll become violent. If you feed on immorality, you'll become immoral. There was a time in Israel when no one would have tolerated sex or violence in our theater. Now it's become accepted, and it's ruining our nation. We've gone from hating the Romans to tolerating them to becoming just like them. Oh, but what about cleaning their stables? Asked David. If they're so wicked, why have we become their friends? We've been friendly toward them, said Levi, because Jesus has told us we're supposed to love everyone. We treat them with respect and do a good job for them, mostly because I'm hoping they see Christ in us, and someday, maybe, some of them will get saved. But we need to guard our hearts against becoming like them. A couple days later, David ran into the boys he went to the theater with that night. They started joking about how scared each other was, and each one said they weren't scared at all. In fact, they were going back to see that very same play all over again, and every other play that the Romans put on. David said, I was scared, and I'm glad I was. I don't want to become the kind of person who can laugh at a man being tortured and killed. I don't want to become the kind of man who thinks it's cool to run around on my wife. I want to be a godly man, not a jerk. What's the matter with you, David, said the biggest boy. Your daddy ground you. Does baby David have to stay home tonight? And all the other boys laughed. My dad told me he'll never again tell me I can't go to the theater. He said I can go anytime I want to. I decided I don't want to become like the Romans. I want to be a godly man. It's too bad none of you are man enough to stand with me. I thought you were my friends. None of the other boys said a word as David walked away, feeling pretty lonely. But later that day, one of David's friends, Ehud, came by his house to tell David he thought about what David had said and decided he wanted to be a godly man too. A couple days later, Levi and David ran across a few of his old friends. "Mr. Levi, sir," said the big fellow, "did you really tell David he could go to the theater anytime he wanted to?" "Yes, I did," replied Levi, "and I'm very proud of the man he's become. I trust him to make choices that will honor both God, his mother, and me." That made David feel really good, even though his old friends scowled at him as they walked away. One of them even stuck his tongue. So whenever the other boys snuck off to the Roman theater, David and Ehud would find something else to do. For a while, the boys still went to the theater. The boys that went to the theater still made fun of him. But after a while, they stopped. David was pretty sure they knew that what they were doing was wrong, but also thought that their soul had somehow become stained, as if they could no longer stop themselves from going. When he talked it over with his dad, Levi said, "They're addicted, son. Violence and immorality are just like when a man drinks whiskey for the first time. It makes him sick, and he swears he'll never drink it again. But if he keeps it up, just because everyone else is doing it, he not only gets used to it, he starts to need it in order to function. The trouble is, he never functions normally again. He starts missing work, making stupid mistakes, ruins all his relationships. His life is trashed, but he can't help himself. He runs back for more whiskey." "Yeah," said David, "those guys who used to be my friends never miss a play now. Funny thing is, they don't even get along with each other anymore. They're always getting in fights and having trouble at school. They backtalk their parents. It's a mess." "Well, it's like the Bible said, son," said Levi. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." That's in Isaiah chapter 5, you know. In fact, the verses that follow say, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and champions at mixing drinks, who acquit the guilty for a bribe but deny justice to the innocent. Therefore, as tongues of fire lick up straw, and as dry grass sinks down into the flames, so their roots will decay and their flowers blow away like dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord Almighty and spurned the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the Lord's anger burns against his people. His hand is raised and he strikes them down. The mountains shake and the dead bodies are like refuse in the streets." "Wow," said David, "that's pretty graphic. I don't think I'd like to see that play." "Well, sad thing is, son, it's not a play. It's already happened in our own nation's history, and I'm afraid we're not too far away from seeing it happen again. I know the Romans are all large and in charge right now. I know that our people think it's cool to become just like them. But believe me, this will be the death of our nation, and the Romans themselves will not escape God's wrath. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Those who spurn God's commands will suffer his wrath." "Yeah, cool today, burn tomorrow," said David. "Amen," replied Levi. And do you know what Benjamin said to that? "Yeah." Of course, what else would a donkey say? It might interest you to know that they crucified Jesus around 33 A.D. In the year 70 A.D., the Romans came in and destroyed the nation of Israel. One of the reasons they crucified Jesus, they were afraid they would lose their place in the Roman government. Many of the officials who had become just like the Romans and had become friends and wanted them to rule, they understood that God was bringing in a different rule with Jesus, and they didn't want that. They wanted their cushy positions. They wanted the tax money coming their way. So they got Jesus out of the way so they could be friends with the Romans. Well, that's how well that worked out. In less than 40 years from the time they crucified Jesus, the Romans came in and they murdered most of the citizenry. In fact, they crucified over 300 of the leading citizens along the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And then they just destroyed everything. They burned everything to the ground. They broke the walls down into rubble. Those who were left, they carried off into exile. The nation of Israel ceased to exist at that time. If you had a map from the Middle Ages, you wouldn't find Israel anywhere on the world map. It was gone. They were no longer a nation, no longer a people. That is until 1948. You see, Isaiah had predicted all of that stuff, dead bodies lying in the streets, and it happened all over again, just as he said. But Isaiah had other predictions about the nation of Israel as well. And they tell us, the prophets do, Ezekiel and Isaiah, that in the last days, Israel would be reborn as a nation. And in 1948, that exact thing happened. The United Nations passed a resolution recognizing Israel as a nation, and she was reborn. That has never happened to any other nation in all of history. After a 2,000-year absence, reborn, born again, a mark of the last days of the last days before Jesus Christ himself will come again. Israel had been free and prosperous until she sold herself over into sin, allowing all of that corruption in. Invasion, conquest, and exile was the result every time she did that. Now it's America that has all but completely sold herself over to sinful practices, abortion, violence, immorality, even the worship of false gods has become part of our culture. Roman creep has happened right here in the United States of America. Sadly, many of them who called themselves Christians have soaked up this culture themselves. Sometimes in a theater, sometimes their television at home, sometimes the device that they carry in their pocket or in their hand, drinking it in, drinking it in, drinking it in, entertaining themselves right to spiritual death, doing the things they once promised themselves they would never do, those things they condemned others for doing. Oh, I'll never this, I'll never that. And now here they are. Large corporations and the government itself has bought into the lies of the enemy. It was once common to start every school day with scripture reading and prayer. Now, if there weren't some old folk around here like myself to testify to you, you wouldn't believe that, would you? Can you imagine now going to school and over the PA system, scripture for the day being given and the principal saying a prayer over the school as you get started? But that is so far away from who we are now. Now our people are losing their jobs and being blacklisted whenever they talk about our nation's need to turn from our sins and seek the Lord. They're being called intolerant, bigots, haters, and worse. Now, I'm not going to tell you what programs you can watch, what movies you need to avoid. You need to grow up and decide for yourself. Amen. Just how much of the Roman creep are you going to allow into your soul? But remember, garbage in, garbage out. That goes as much for violence as it does for immorality. Oh, you think it doesn't affect you. But how's your thought life? What are your fantasies about? Are you daydreaming about helping people or killing a bunch of bad guys? Do you think people commit mass murder without, first of all, having poisoned their minds? Do you think people cheat on their spouse all of a sudden? Oops, it just happened. Choose your video games and movies wisely. Be careful what you allow your eyes to see and your minds to think about. Decide who you want to be. Do you want to be a godly person or not? Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us to stop conforming to the ways of this world and be transformed by the renewing of our minds through the Word of God. We need to have our sins forgiven, and we also need to have our brains washed. Only God can do that. Wipe us clean to start again. How sad to be a hero on the outside, to risk your life to save others, but be dark and miserable inside. If you're the man or woman you want to be, the one that you believe God wants you to be, hallelujah. If, however, you've become somebody you can hardly recognize, you feel lost, I have a cure for that. His name is Jesus. He forgives sins and he washes us clean. He gives us a new spirit within. Maybe you'd like a fresh start today. Maybe as I've preached, as I've talked, there's been a little twinge from the Holy Spirit. Oh, maybe you're born again. Maybe you got all the accolades and so on and so forth. But what have you allowed into your soul? What have you been entertaining yourself with? What have you been feeding yourself? You know, the devil's really good at what he does. And he gives you permission. He gives you excuses. He gives you reasons. Just a little bit of this. Just a little. Oh, all things in moderation. Oh, a little bit more. Oh, you're such a good person. You do so many good things for others. You deserve just. And, you know, they're not treating you the way they should. And this isn't happening. What else do you expect? You know, you need a little relief. You need a little relaxation. Whatever the excuse might be. I'm wondering if we have any Davids or Ehuds with us this morning, willing to stop going along with the crowd, being swept right along. Well, everybody else is doing it. I've been telling you week after week about our experience having cut the cable and looking for something to watch. I don't have words. How deep the sea of garbage is. The filth is just pervasive. Even when you find what you think is a good program that you can watch. Right dab in the middle, they'll throw something in, you go, ah. This is America. This is who we are. And if it was just everybody else, that would be bad enough. But this is the church now. We're told that, I don't know what, 60, 75% of the men that attend church today have pornography is a problem in their life. Many addicted there. It's ruining minds. It's ruining lives. It's ruining families. How in the world do you get out of the mud? You spun your wheels and you're stuck. You need the deliverance we're going to be talking about in the next coming weeks, but you need to come to a place where you confess. Where you say, oh God, it's me. I followed the breadcrumbs. It wasn't much at first. It was no big deal. But how in the world did I get here? How did I get here? And how do I get out of here? The first step is to recognize, Lord, the Roman creep got me. I took a little and then I took a little bit more and now here I am. Here I am, God. I humble myself before you today. Show me who I need to talk to, where I need to go from here. But I want to be, I need to be a godly person, not like everybody else any longer. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back as we're going to sing one last song before we take a break and then we'll meet around the flagpole. I hope that we all understand how serious these things are. Oh, the devil would have us to think it's no big deal. And if it's just you, what does it matter? But it's not just one or a couple. Can you imagine how many millions, hundreds of millions of people sit down in an evening and turn on what they used to call the old boob tube and drink in the poison of the society? Have you marveled as I have how quickly the morals of our nation have turned absolutely upside down? What were those words from Isaiah? Where was it here? Woe to those who call wrong right and right wrong, who change light for darkness and darkness for light, and he goes on from there. Have you ever heard a better description of modern society than that? And here we are. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's sing a prayer. Spirit, touch your church. Stir the hearts of men. And I hope somewhere in here you'll decide, not me, not my family. Not going to participate in the Roman creep any longer. And close your eyes with me just for a moment. I'm wondering if anybody here is feeling a little creepy. I need some help from God today. Anybody here, you've never made that commitment, or you feel like you've gone back on it and you want to make things right with God today, just slip up a hand. So, Lord, I need you today. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. I need saved today. Anybody? Anybody else slip up a hand and say, Lord, too much of the world in me. I fought it, I've whatever, but I still got too much of the world in me. And I need cleansing. I need my brains washed. I want to get things right in my thinking and in my life. Anybody slip up a hand and say, yeah, that's where I'm at. Yes, yes. Forgive us, God. We get stained and don't even realize it. I know so often when I'm eating, I look down at my shirt and I think, oh, no, not again. I was trying to be so careful. Another stain. Lord, it's impossible to walk through this world and stay clean. The commercials. The interruptions. The billboards. The way people talk. The things others do. They make us think about bad things. Help us, God. We need our brains washed. We need to get stronger. We need to be better at taking thoughts captive and staying clean. We need better appetites, God. Truth be told, we like the stuff that they're dangling in front of our faces. And we need to like different things, God. Help us not to go right along with all the changing of right to wrong and wrong to right. Help us to be loving and kind and friendly and everything else, but at the same time, make a stand. And not go along with the world. Please help us, God, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We're going to take about a 5 or 10 minute break.